Up to Gimel. Okay, again. Okay, so let's. So again, the problem is in the Rambam. What's the difference between the first parak and the seventh parak? Essentially, I mean, the first parak, it sounds like you know, tshuva works, but you need kapara. It takes time. Yom Kippurim, you gotta get punished. You gotta die. And then the seventh parak, he like starts tshuva again. He enters the bechira. Since you have bechira, now there's a whole new idea, tshuva. And the question, what do you mean? If you need bechira, the first parak also seemed to be need bechira. So what's coming along now in the seventh parak? In the seventh parak, he mentions about character traits. So why is that only in the seventh parak? And he mentions how tshuva really makes you close to God. Why isn't that in the first parak? The whole structure is something that's funny. So the Rav says, the Ner Lomar, this is I'm reading from Beis, in the Rav, he says, so basically it goes to the Gemara. Okay, we read this Gemara yesterday, that when it comes to tshuva me'ava, out of love, then it actually converts your purposeful sins into zechuyos, into merits. But if it comes to tshuva out of fear, then it converts your purposeful sins into unwillful sins. Okay? Fine, which we said we have to understand how that works. Right? He says, "Vinei Rama mechibur lohive klali karmei loshal shnei suge tshuva miyor meava v'advar matviyam." Is the Rama doesn't bring down anywhere these two types of tshuva? Ava niro, the Gemara has it, but the Rama just doesn't have it. So he says, "So what's the deal?" He says, "Alkein erad the bemes achilgal shnei sidrei tshuva b'Rambam miperek alav ad perek dalu b'chativa achas v'alachat tshuva b'perek zayin b'chativa achas." He says the Rama and tshuva and alav through dalit is like on one group. And Perek Zayin is another plane. Two different planes of tshuva. And Heim Atzma Chaluka Shal Tshuva Me'ava Mi'ira. And this is exactly Avon Yira. Dinei V'dalet Prakim Rishonim Ramo Sig Maisa Tshuva Atzma. In the first four Prakim, he's talking about the action of tshuva itself. Bein Mi'ira, Bein Me'ava, across the board, whatever it's from. Yira, Ava, love, fear, it doesn't matter. The Alpi Sharam Mefar Yitzchilis Perek Be'ez Ma'ya Tshuva Gemura. This is David asked yesterday. It seems like he says the complete tshuva. He doesn't mean the highest philosophical tshuva. The ma'ayin sham yer deikar tshuva gemura ki tshuva shamda be mivchan shalachet v'amlam be tshuva suk tshuva made be avon saba v'kol gufam din shavva pir shalavar. He says tshuva gemura doesn't mean it's the highest philosophical tshuva. It just means it's a tshuva which lasts forever. Even if you replicate the exact same situation, it will still last. But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily the highest level tshuva, philosophically. Okay. Yeah, but I think he's saying is that the first four prakim is anything. Is this tshuva? Is this both? Is tshuva, generic tshuva, any tshuva. All tshuvas. Okay, all tshuvas are included in the first four prakim. And he says, not only the highest level tshuva.
But it's also just here.
No, I don't think he's saying it's just here. He's saying it's everything.
In the first unit, Al Kadal is Yira, and Zion is Av. And then he doubles back and says the first
one. Okay. Okay, right. So the idea, though, is that so the tshuva gemura doesn't mean that it's the highest philosophical tshuva motivated by the highest philosophical motivation. Rather, it just means that it lasts even in the heat of the exact situation. The tshuva she'en gemura, he says tshuva shelo amda v'mivchan achet ki shav leiv ziknak she'en b'kocho lachod. But Eino Gemura means where he's already old. For instance, he does tshuva after he can no longer do the Avera anymore. But even the tshuva Gemura, which means that it will last forever, could be because he's afraid. Because he's afraid of the sin. Because Shalom Derech HaChamim. Or because of the stumbling of the way of Chet. Because he's afraid, or just because he sees the stumblings of his Chet. He sees how his Chet leads him to stumble. And therefore, he chose the shoes of the good.
That's Yira.
Dalidei kol hasibos she'avar, because of all the causes that took in the past, who mo'as b'derech ha'chatoyim u'v'averos. He's disgusted by the way of chet and averos.
That doesn't sound like Yira.
It doesn't, but he's calling it Yira. Afilu mitzad Yiras ha'onesh, or even because he's afraid of an onesh, or alma'ba, adeshav b'tshuva gemura, b'oso isha b'erich perek ha'makom. He says it could be because you're really afraid of punishment. Whatever. He says it could be because of, it could even be gemura. It doesn't matter. And he says it could be permanent, even if it's based upon bad lesser motivations, because you're afraid, because you realize that it's disgusting, sin is disgusting, and it has terrible consequences. It doesn't matter. It still could be gemura. still could be a long lasting. And that's the first four prakim could be even talked, even includes that. All tshuvas. All tshuvas. Maybe it's longer last night. I will tshuva the don the perek zayin, but the one of the seventh perek he tshuva shel lechir chafshas. That's the tshuva of free will. Moshek the Rambam whole verse is called Nesunah. That's why he prefaces it. Since every person has free will, tshuva zu ba'ame umka deliba. This tshuva comes from the depths of the heart. Kasher adam atzma hafach kulo latov. When a person turns totally to the good, ubachar b'derech hatov meretzono, and he chooses the good path from his will. Chafetz be'emes memneishi yemes, and he chooses in the truth because it's true. V'charta b'chayim, and you shall choose life. V'zuvi be'emes shuv me'ava. This is true out of love. Asher tshuva zu ina al ela ayidei v'chira. It can only be through free will. V'ina ba ayidei ki kashalta b'avonecha. It doesn't come about through the fact that he stumbles on his sins. Shederach achei atzma v'chishlono seha. In other words, it's not that the path of the sin and its stumblings bring the person to do tshuva. That's not ava. If he just stumbles on the chet and that causes him to do tshuva, that's not ava. El ach v'rak. It's only hol v'rishus l'chaladim nesuna, because the person has free will. Ha'adam b'kochosav ha'penimiyim. Person with his internal powers, b'li ezer v'siyuam v'chutz, without any external helper, assistance. Mishana es darko, he changes his path, umo es bara, and he is disgusted by evil, ubocher batov, and he chooses the good. Zeu chedesh al tshuva perek zayin. This is the new idea of perek zayin. Not motivated by any of these external types of things, is totally, he just, totally by free will, just chooses the good because it's true. Not because he's afraid, not because of the terrible things which happened because of him sinning, because it's hard, he stumbled because of his sins. That he's putting into a yara. That he's putting into a yara. Ava just means it's totally only free will. Okay? Okay, let's keep going here. There are problems, but let's keep going. Umuvan heitev had the kol ram din tshuva zu b'chir chafshas. Okay? So now you understand why the Rambam puts the character traits in this tshuva. He says, "Yeah, I did tshuva miyura kasha l'shanas l'spnim shel adam." The tshuva out of fear is very hard to change your internal character traits. Shari tshuva miyura mikora michutz l'adam. He says it happens really. The fear is from what happens outside of a person. Umalo v'spnim shel adam. The fear isn't what's going on inside you. He says the fear is usually the fear which comes about somehow through external things. It's not just based upon, the fear isn't that you have internally you have a bad mida. In general, the fear comes about is based upon things like actions, not just on your internal world. Okay, fine. So David asks, I mean, I'm not sure if you're... So David's asking a question, is that fine, but the bottom line is why can't you have fear for fear based upon internal things? I mean, it's true, maybe the real fearful things are because of bad things that you do, avera, the sins, but there's also punishments or fear based upon internal things. So although it's stronger, but is the line like this qualitative line? Right, okay. Alright, so that's what we explained. Lo kein tshuva me'ava. Tshuva shekula b'chira chafshas. The tshuva, not with the tshuva of love. Tshuva, which is totally out of free will. Asher yikol shana ravid. Ravid says, Mashen nasan bo ha-sechel lios machziko lotzeis mitachas hamazo. He says, the God gave the intellect, the ability to pull himself and remove himself totally from the natural forces. It's a power within a person that he could be good or bad. So God knows whether, this he's talking about, God knows whether he could do that. But he calls it the free will could pull a person out of the natural order. He says, Ayin Sham. This tshuva, which is rooted in the depths of his heart, which chooses in the good, the kocha l'shanos is deyosav. Midosav Tevaav, the Chol Panimiyos Nafshel. It has the power to change his character traits, his midos, his nature, all of his internals was solved. Lotzeis Mitachas HaMazel, to remove himself from the laws of nature. Maila Min HaTeva, because it was totally from beyond the physical laws. Even though his psychological nature, I mean, he means, even though his psychological nature was dictating that he do acts, but he could just, free will, he could just decide to do it or not do it.
He means that your internal nature.
Yeah, he means your internal nature. He means your internal nature could be stacked against you to do chay, but he could simply choose to ignore it and to just do the good. What they're saying is like he's removing the laws of nature. A psychologist will never say it. The psychologist will say, look, in your psyche is stacked towards Zen. Yeah, but he'll say, look, bottom line is, he has the ability to remove himself from all the poles, all the forces, all the instincts, all the taivas, just decide to do the good. That's like in a certain sense, like a supernatural or metaphysical kind of a thing. It's free will. That's only because of free will. If a psychologist doesn't have free will, doesn't have a soul. I mean, this is based upon part of his nature, which is above the instincts. Can't be predicted. It's totally free. The person has the ability to do that. And that's true in the Ava. Yalchuva zu kotziv ramam kamen mula mas shuva. This is what the Ram talks about. He says, look how great Tshuva is. Tshuva v'nefla n'karv l'shchina, that he's close to God. U'makin shuva l'shuva om n'insin g'murri chol n'lamod. And the place that about Tshuva is, he's greater than even a tzaddik, a real tzaddik. This is the type of, that's why in Perek Zion, where he's talking about this tshuva, that's where he talks about how great and powerful tshuva is. He's talking about that kind of tshuva. But the other tshuva is okay, it's good, it's whatever, but it gives you kapara. But it's not the same thing, it's not as great. It doesn't have all these great things that Yaram talks about. And in general, it's not going to work for character traits. So it's not going to give you so close to God, and it's not all the hype the Ram has that is not for the first four prakim. First book includes everything. Because any tshuva. But seventh parak, he's singling out a special, special kind of tshuva. It's tshuva me'ava, which has all these new properties. Okay? Good question. Okay? The Netherlands in the third part, I mean, just finish it up. He says, remember we mentioned the question yesterday, is that the Ram talks about how instantaneously the guy has changed and he's close to God. Instantaneously, right? And then parak Zion, he talks about that. So he says, he asked that question, but the problem is, what do you mean? The Ram says that you need Yom Kippur, sometimes you need to have punishment, sometimes you need to have death. Kapara doesn't come around until all these things happen. It's not so easy. So what do you mean it's instantaneously, right? That was the Rav's question, right? So I'm just jumping. That was the question. And then the last paragraph, is Venera al Pimash and Aspire. Okay, this is on page Pei. Okay, I just skipped the question, but that was his question in the beginning of Gimel. He says, the Ram Perek Alf Mishuva Ayri Vimisho Se Shuva Miyara. He says, in the first part he's talking about if you do tshuva out of fear. Okay? Tshuva below b'chira chafshas. Tshuva without free will. Okay, here he says it pretty explicitly. Without free will. That's what he's talking about in the first part. Yes. Nevenera. Tshuva shel ki kashalta bavonecha. Tshuva, which is based upon the fact that you've stumbled in your sins. That's what he's talking about in the first part. That you need kapara doesn't happen instantaneously. That you really need to wait. You need Yom Kippur. You need punishments. You need death. He says, but I will perak zayin the mayoram v'ocher b'tshuva asher tshuvasa kulo v'chir me'avas Hashem. But in the seventh paragraph, it's totally free will because of the love of God. Tshuva habal mi pnimios haleiv, from the depths of his heart. B'tshuva zu ain shichem l'chol dalech l'kei kapara elam yadim miskevalos. That's immediately. That he's instantaneously back to God. Okay, so the distinction is, remember that question, that in the first parak, when he says that you need these things, that's only talking about if you don't do it out of love. That's just talking about just doing it because of you realize that you've stumbled, because of the tshuva of Yira. But he says, only in the seventh parak, where you're talking about only specifically this new kind of tshuva, that is the free will. That's when he says this idea that's instantaneous. Then you don't need any of that stuff. I mean, any of the waiting, it just happens right away. Okay? That's the case, basically. Right. So, I mean, that's the main question of those things. Well, if it's not Bechira, what does it mean it's not Bechira? Does he really mean it doesn't involve Bechira? Like, do you have a choice to do it? It's a mitzvah. In fact, one of his proofs of the mitzvah of the Bechira was that the Torah tells you to do mitzvahs. It tells you don't do the mitzvahs, so you get punished. So how could it be? Yeah, it could be that the Torah does that if you don't have free will, so it must be a free will. So what do you mean? The first tshuva is under free will? Or is it just like a psychological determinism? And so you say, oh, you can't be saying that. But he says, tshuva mira, tshuva below b'chira chashas. In the last paragraph, he says that. He says, a tshuva without free will. So what is it? And how does that help you? I mean, it's just some psychological whatever. Is that really... What kind of tshuva is that? What's going on? What is that? What are these two different kinds of tshuva? Right? And what's the tshuva me'ava? And it's... I mean, I guess the question was bothering me also. I think some of you guys mentioned. Is if you see why the chet is harming you, and you see how bad it is, and you're disgusted by it, and you turn away from it, he says, that's not tshuva me'ava? That's tshuva me'ira? It's not out of love, and isn't that what you're supposed to be trying to do? I think this is what Danny is suggesting, and there's Rindy's going along with it here. Tell me if it's a little different, but the same basic idea, I think. She's like this: is that chait isn't worth it? Okay. Bottom line is, if a person just really studied man, and studied his nature, and studied his happiness, and studied his, you know, what's going to make him happy and what's going to give him a good, satisfying life, he will always find that sin, chet, is not worth it. And following the life of the Torah is the best thing for man. Okay? On different levels. I mean, on the simple level, because God's going to reward you for doing the mitzvahs, right? And then they'll be punished for it. You know, that's the simplest level. But on a deeper level, if you just study man's nature, you see the life of chig. That's what he's saying. You stumble on your sins. Chig is irrational. It's a person who is living based on instant, instincts, which are not thought out and not based upon reality. And they ultimately lead a person towards frustration and pain. And the life of Torah, in all its entirety, every aspect of it, leads a person to a life of intelligence and a life of rationality and a life of happiness. So far as in a person, I said, the more a person knows of Torah, the more he sees that. And therefore, since that's the case, and that's the case in any area of Torah, any sin a person would do, if a person would sufficiently study the area, study the sin, study the draw to the sin, study what he's gaining from the sin, the pain that the sin is causing him, and the benefit that he would have if he would manage to, if he wouldn't follow the sin, then he would, again, it would take sufficient willpower to think this thing through fully, and to direct the energy to do it. And you have to have a certain system. You have to be fortunate to gain our knowledge. But if a person would do that properly, he would be able to see clearly that it's stupid to do sin. It's just not worth it.
You need to discuss it.
What?
Get
all the facts. But I think more difficult than gaining the fact is overcoming your resistances, which tell you stop thinking about this. This is a bad route. You're going to lose all of your pleasure if you start thinking like this. So he's not, you don't let yourself think about it. If you ever try to do it, you realize in about 5 minutes you're thinking about something else. It's not easy. I mean, and it doesn't just take 5 minutes. It means to really think the thing through in its full depth and full every angle, every facet. If a person would fully think it through, totally honest, he would be convinced that it's just not worth it. And he simply wouldn't have a choice. I mean, once he did that psychologically, his psyche is looking out for his own good. So once you really saw that, so then you're gonna do it. I mean, you could just you don't have to do anything at that point. I mean, the hard part is, and I think this is where there is bechira and there isn't bechira. It's because it can't be there's no bechira, but I think the bechira, and this is what you're saying, comes in forcing yourself to think about it. And putting the energy into overcoming it, because the chait, the taivas, tell you not to think about it, and they want the taiva, and they prevent you from doing it. So you have to do is you have to use your mind to tell you that this is worth thinking through. And I realize that resistances are based upon instantaneous instincts, you know, which are not looking towards the future, and I have to force myself to focus. And that, for that, like, so Sefer Tshuva is a good plan. I mean, there are things which are good that could help you do it, you know, but to force yourself to focus and to think it through, and if you fully do that, and you, I mean, it's a whole process, there's a point that you succeed at it, so the person will just realize, stupid, it's just not worth it. And that's the part of him which at that point, once he does it successfully, he doesn't have to have willpower to do the to stay away from the chayit. He's just not going to do it because it's painful. It's annoying.
The willpower
is uncovered. Exactly. The willpower is uncovered the perspective. Once he has the perspective, you don't go back and do it.
And you said to uncover that is...
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. It would be like, I don't have to think of examples, but it would be like, you don't go over to your, like in high school, and you're always like going over picking on your friends and all that kind of stuff, and petty fighting, and, you know? Like, you just realize at some point that this stuff is frustrating, you never really get anywhere, it just makes fights, it's not really, you know? Just realize, you just don't do it, because it's just not worth it, it's just, you know? Now, you have to think to yourself of an example that you could see it in. But there are things which you don't do, because it's just not worth it. You used to want to do it, but somehow you gain knowledge. I mean, it doesn't have to even be free will. I mean, it could be free will, but it could be you are to share once.
It could be life experiences.
Yeah, you just stumbled enough times on thing, you just realize this thing is stupid. So sometimes you get lucky and you have the right experiences, which is realize you had a serious suffering because of your sin. You really flopped because of your sin, and you're an alcoholic, and you really had some sort of crazy incident that really set you back. You lost your job, whatever you name it, I don't know. You realize it could really destroy you, and you could be fortunate to have some situation which could key you into the fact that this is ridiculous. And psychologically, you're just not going to do it. You're disgusted by it. You see, it's just not worth it. As he says, Yisurin could do it, but it could just be whatever, yeah. But that's Kikashalta Bavanach. I mean, since the life of Chet is fraught with frustrations, there's ample opportunities to see it. I mean, it's not easy, but there are ample opportunities, and doesn't necessarily involve free will. It could happen automatically, but it could also happen where, if it doesn't happen automatically, you could use your free will to summon up the energy to pursue an area. So you have a given area, a given chet that you're involved in, so you could think through the consequences of the chet and really see that the consequences aren't worth it.
In what sense is it not free will?
Well, the thing is like this, is that it's not free will, I'd say, is that the tshuva itself is a decision to not do the chayt. See, tshuva means you're doing the chayt, and now you're stopping to do the chayt. And the action of deciding to not do it is not a free decision. Because it's simply a psychological decision after you already gain the knowledge. So the tshuva, if you have to describe what is the tshuva, thinking about something isn't the tshuva. If you have the tshuva itself, okay, is the stopping to sin. And the stopping to sin is not free will. That's just a psychological thing. The true, that's not bechira. That's not bechira. The stopping to sin is not bechira. That's true, but that's not bechira. Bechira is in getting yourself to think about it. And once you've done that, now you don't have to do bechira anymore. Now you're simply not going to do it because psychologically, how could you do it? It's stupid. You're not going to harm yourself. You're just harming yourself. You're taking poison. So the tshuva itself is a tshuva without free will. But that doesn't mean. But how could God tell you to do it? You could use free will to bring about that tshuva, but the tshuva isn't that you're choosing the good. What are you doing? You're just doing that which is going to make you happy. You're not choosing because it's true, because it's whatever. It's a psychological thing. The same reason I choose chocolate ice cream over vanilla ice cream, I'm choosing mitzvah as opposed to chayt. That's my psyche. My psyche is going to lead me to that. But I had to use my mind and my free will to get myself to that state. And I could, usually, but sometimes it will happen automatically. There are times where it will happen automatically. It could happen without free will. But in order for it to be a mitzvah, though, it has to be possible to bring about through free will. And it is. Because using free will, you could pursue the area, and that's what you could do. You could take a given area where you have a chayit, and this is a practical type of thing. Maybe there are those calling it tshuva meira, but look, tshuva is tshuva. It's the mitzvah of tshuva, and it works. And if it works, it works, and you'll be happy with it. Is that you could put energy into the area and really study the consequences of the thing and really convince yourself that it's just not worth it. And if your psyche, if you see that, then your desire, your psyche's own best interest will choose not to do it. It's not free. It's not a free decision at that point. The free will comes in and getting yourself to think about it. because there's a lot of resistance.
Is that why people really never do it?
Yeah, right. I mean, I think that, right. Well, the thing is, you're not going to do it again. But see, there is a trick. There is one little catch, which is maybe we'll pursue. I don't want to pursue it right now. But the catch is that you see it very clearly. Problem is once an instinct gets aroused, now all of a sudden your conviction becomes less. Like, that has the power to blind you. So it's not so easy to... It's one thing, you can see it very clearly now, but that could change.
So Shugimura is the perseverance of that newfound view in the face of the...
Right. But it could be your average way. I mean, there are different answers to this. But one way is the person knows that, and therefore he avoids the situation. In general, since you know that this thing is going to change, it's a good idea to avoid the situation, because you know that you're going to get blinded. A guy with Shiva Gemura, it's going to last forever. But I mean, that's a matter of that, I think, is a guy is, and it could be the part of the process of Tshuva, and this is what I think the Rav wanted to say, Ana Hashem. He didn't want to learn Yahid Alav Yadayat Lumos. It means that God knows, or God testifies. But he meant, it means, he compared it to like a Shiva. It's like you're calling God as your witness. Yahid Alav Yadayat Lumos means, I call upon God as my witness, which means, I see, and this is what Shiva is in general, is like, Shiva in general, I think, is where you see a clear idea now. Let's say it's Shavua, not smoke. I don't know. You see clearly right now, it's clear to your mind that it's not worth it. But you know that later you're not going to see it clearly. So what you do is you use Shem Hashem, and you say, like a Shavua Hashem, as you say, as God is a true idea to me, and as you're equating it with absolute clear reality, clear idea that this is bad, and this is harmful to me. And if you make that expression in a shvua, this is not a shvua actually, but it's like a shvua. If you make a swear by God's name, it's like you're equating this with absolute fact in your mind. And then when later you are overcome with a thing, you can hark back to your shvua and realize, wait a second, then I was clear-minded and I came to a clear, over-convincing decision, and that's why I made the shvua that this is hard, this is bad for me. And then you could stick by it. Then it's possible to stick by it. So he said, like, that's what Ana Hashem is kind of doing that. Is you're locking in that knowledge in your mind. Is that through going before God and saying the Vidoy, it's like you're expressing, you're being made all of your day at the Lumos. You're calling on God as your witness. He's saying, I see this idea clearly. I'm 100% convinced of it. And I stated before you, God, that I'm not going to go back to it. And hopefully, I mean, that's a study, why well or won't, but you have a much better chance of not being overtaken by that when it becomes aroused, because you think back and says, yeah, I know right now I'm being thrown off, but then I was clear and I was convinced and I said I'm not ashamed, and you know, I was before God. So as part of the process is like is making that knowledge permanent. So it's not so easy making it permanent, but at the moment, at the time for sure though, you're convinced of it and you really will give it up, and you will give it up. Okay, what happens later is this has to be considered. But that's one type of tshuva, and that's based tshuva based on the consequences. The consequences again could be because God's going to punish me. I say, look, it's not worth it because I'm going to get punished. Okay, whatever God that means, either it can mean that could mean basically God's going to zap me, or if you don't hold by that, you could hold it means that now I'm going to be, because I'm at a low level, I'm going to be left to the laws of nature. I'm not going to have any protection, and if cancer is coming my way, I'm not going to be protected, or if whatever bad things are in my way, I'm not going to be protected. And the degree to which I'm perfected, I'll have a greater protection against the laws of nature. So that could also be a fear of onesh. Fear of onesh doesn't have to mean because you think an idea of God zapping you. It could just be that you know is that based on your level, you'll be protected. To the degree that you're perfected, you'll have a different protection from the laws of nature. But either way, whatever the case is that a person could, based on consequences, whether they be based on God consequences or they're just based on laws of nature consequences, but a person could think the thing fully and come to the conclusion that it's just not worth it. And then he can give it up. And he'll be convinced about it, that once he's convinced, it's not free will anymore. And that's what the Rambam calls it. He calls it a tshuva shalta b'avonecha, because you've stumbled in your sins. And it's a tshuva below b'chir chashas, which means that the action of tshuva, of abandoning the chet itself, is not free will. And the getting there may be free will. It doesn't have to be, but it may be free will. And it's a mitzvah because you could get there using free will. But the tshuva itself is not free will. That's one type of tshuva.
You mean like an animal? You can engineer it.
You can engineer it. And that's why I think it's good, is that part of associating with tshuva, they're stimuli to tshuva, which is that you have to focus, and it's easier to focus in certain times. So this is now is a good time to do it. I mean, it takes effort, though. It does take effort, and that's where the willpower, the free will comes in, is in the closing yourself to think it through. But it's like, it's normal type of thinking. So it's easier. You're forcing yourself to think, but then you're just thinking it like, taking it like, analyzing it, and any problem. Just weighing out the...
serious cost-benefit analysis.
Yes, right. A serious cost-benefit analysis, exactly. And, to get yourself to do it. And realize that you're going to be distracted, and you got to really push yourself. Because it's not easy. You know, and notice the resistance. Don't let it stop you. Okay? So that's one tshuva. The other tshuva is Yeshua Me'ava. Yeshua Me'ava, the Rav is talking about, as he says, is that psychologically you really want the thing. Okay? Psychologically, you haven't done this process necessarily. But a person could simply know that the Torah is true. I know that all the mitzvahs are true. I know that God is the ultimate truth. And to the degree to which he knows that, so his mind is drawn towards emes, towards truth. And simply because it's emes, and because God is emes and the Torah is emes, he will say, my instincts, whatever. I'm just doing the emes because it's emes.
And so you're relying on like a second-hand knowledge that these things are bad?
Well, it's not that they're bad. It's just that I mean, you could know. I mean, a person could understand why the Torah is true. I mean, you could understand that. But it's not. It's just that he is Avas Hashem. He sees the God. He has some knowledge of God, and he just realizes that God is the ultimate reality, and therefore his mind dictates that he goes with God, which means he aligns himself with God. Now, yeah, there may be mitzvahs he doesn't fully understand, or hasn't fully worked through all the consequences in every single mitzvah. He just knows that it's MS. I mean, of course, he'll look into it and whatever, but it's not... I mean, I would think that what you mentioned, it's not necessarily... You notice, it's not necessarily a case-by-case type of thing. It could be an overall personality thing. It's true now, but he's just choosing to say, look, my instincts really don't want chet. And they haven't sufficiently been convinced that the given chet is gonna be more painful than it's worth. They haven't been convinced of that. But the instincts are just the instincts, but the instincts are short-sighted, are just my, irrational part of my nature, and I know God is truth, and the person is drawn towards MS, towards truth. His mind has a desire for truth, and the part of the mind which desires truth, a person could just decide to go with that, and say everything else is worth nothing. Everything else just isn't whatever. Just he's choosing, he's not... working within his psychological framework. That's what it means. It's like above. He's transcending that framework. The person has the ability to simply transcend all the psychological forces, and the part of him which is attached to reality, to truth, is he can simply decide to follow that and leave his psyche by the door. It's like a different type of thing. And you'll say, how do you do that? There's no explanation for that. That's free will. That's, if I explain it, then it wouldn't be free will. And there's person said, that's what it means. It's a mylamanatava. It's the metaphysical reality. That since man has the nature, part of him which is attached to truth, so he has the ability to just follow that part of his nature and to leave everything else behind. A psychologist won't explain it, though. That's what it means. It's like he's abandoning his mazel, like his nature. And he has the ability simply to attach himself to truth. Because it's truth. I mean, it would seem to me you have to have some sort of knowledge of God or some sort of knowledge. And if you just, like, I don't know if a guy who doesn't know anything could do this, because what's truth? Yeah, right. You have to understand some idea of God, and God has to be real to you. Yes. Right. But that type of a tshuva is not necessarily, it's not like, I guess it's not particular, it's not because your psyche is seeing, you see why it's worth it in this particular thing. It's maybe painful, whatever, just simply this is truth. It's not because I'll have more happiness. It's not, you're not thinking about happiness, you're just thinking about truth. It's like a part of you which sees a theory as being a true theory about the universe. You're just attracted to truth. Is it going to make me happier if the theory of relativity is true or not? I don't do it happy. It's just true. And my mind is attracted to truth. And I just go, it gravitates towards truth. And it's going to make me, it's going to be painful, it's going to be whatever. It's very nice. But this is all that stuff is purely in the realm of the fleeting psychological, and I'm just attracted to truth.
And that's what I'm going for. And a person has to decide to abandon everything else and just follow the truth. You know, I'm kind of describing it, but it's unreducible, irreducible. That is, reducing it is other type of things, where you're showing the dynamics of the psyche. But that's what he's saying. This isn't working through the dynamics of the psyche. This is a different tshuva. And he's saying is, it could be he's saying is that, the other tshuva of consequences, I think he's saying is that, this is the Zimmerman's one, is that consequences are, generally consequences come from actions, not from character traits. In general, I mean, if you act, I mean, character traits are your internal character traits. It's harder to see consequences from that. Consequences come about when you act. You make mistakes, you do things in the world. It's harder to see the consequences of... Yeah, right. You do actions and you attribute to the midah, but it's the character traits which... I'll read that in a second. You attribute the character traits to... the character traits is hard for a person to really... The consequences thing for character traits. It's like your underlying nature. But if you're saying is that based upon your... attachment to truth, so all your character traits are also, they just fall by the wayside. Person is grabbing onto truth, and his instincts and all his amigos simply become small-minded things, which in the face of God, they're all just nothing. So a person's ability to just totally remove himself from that. And that guy is karov, close to God, and all those things, because it means he's chosen God as his reality. He's abandoned his psychological reality.
Why is that even true? Why is that just perfection?
Well, it is, but he's not going to do chait. I mean, as he says, like, Ovi Me'aval, he says, like, the Ram says, so the Ram said in Shuvah in the Parakir, where he talked about Ahava. Yonah, I'll look at you in a second. I'll read that in a second. He says, by Ahava, that, he says he loves God so much, and he says, when you do that, Miyad Yasa Kol HaMitzvos Me'aval. He says, once you're drawn to God, immediately you're just going
to
do all the mitzvahs.
I'm saying you don't need to have sinned in order to do that, so why is this?
No, I don't know. It's true, but it is. It's both. I mean, it's both. But I mean, it does for someone who has sinned. It will be true.
And the form could be of this
right,
process.
Exactly. Right. It's true. I mean, a guy could, first of all, everyone sins. But even if you didn't sin, but a person, but this is a method of tshuva,
okay.
And this tshuva is bechira. It's a tshuva of free will. It means it can't be reduced to any cycle. You can't have any psychological explanation of how it happened. It's purely, this is the tshuva itself. You'll say, why is he not sinning? Because he decided not to. Because free will, not because he saw that it's better and therefore automatically. No, he decided. So that's a tshuva of free will. That's what he calls a tshuva of free will. Of course it's true. I mean, the Rambam, to have this level is, again, this is a very, the Rambam says that this level fully, I mean, there are moments. Every person has partakers in certain degrees, but to have this fully, he says, not every chacham is zochah to this. This is the level of Avraham Avinu. So, I mean, this is a level where, I mean, I'm not saying this is... I would say an easier type of tshuva for us to do is the tshuva mihira. Don't try to, you know... I mean, look, I wouldn't turn down the tshuva mihava if you're so moved. What I'm saying is, like, it's a unique thing. It's the Rambam's, I mean, tshuva mihava is a high, high level. I mean, you could maybe partake of it in degrees. I don't know if it's all or none, but I mean, I would think there are different types of tshuva. But there are the highest level of Yavah is like Ron says, not every chacham. I mean, your real chacham, he says, aren't zocha to it. How did he say it? He said, "Ain't called chacham zocha." He says, "Avram Avinu, Vishloba El Me'Avah." Avram is totally out of Avah. So I mean, but he does say, "He Amayel Shetzion Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Yavta Yishen Kachal B'Chol B'Chol Chalam Shalom Adafa." That's what it means. You should love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your money. Everything else should be compelled. So, I mean, apparently, to fully do it is love Avinu, but it doesn't mean that we can't do it on some level. But it's a unique type of a thing. Is it possible? That's the idea of free will. But it's harder, certainly much harder. Yeah.
You could have your mind overwhelmed.
Right. No, I'm not saying, it's not that the mind overwhelms the psyche. It's that your psyche tells you, I want pleasure, I want this, I want whatever, money, I want fame, I want fortune. Your mind tells you, I want truth, I want reality, I want God. And then you just say, I'm going to go with my mind. I'm not going to follow what my instincts tell me. My instincts tell me it, and it's going to bother them that I do it, but I'm just not going to do it. And you decide. It's a free thing. It's not an automatic thing. It's a decision. You're deciding. You have the ability, that's the idea of free will, you have the ability to decide to leave the psyche at the door and to just follow truth.
But
that's
saying it's a third thing. It's not the mind
right.
Itself. It's
right.
Choosing to go with
right.
It.
It's like, like when you're drawn to choose a theory in science, choosing because your mind tells you that it's true. But you don't have any instincts against it. So of course your mind, that's what your mind's saying, go for it. But when you see Torah, let's say, or God, your mind tells you, the same part of your mind tells you, go for that. But now you have your instincts, the other part of you, which is telling you, go for this other stuff, which you don't have by other theories and science. And then the man has the ability, he's free, there are just simply two parts. Man is a compound, and he has the ability to choose to follow one and not the other. But that's different than that tshuva. The first tshuva here, a guy's not doing that. Guy's basically, he's using the willpower to, even in his psychological framework, to force himself to realize that it's just not worth it, even in the psychological framework. So but that has to be a case-by-case thing. A guy can't do that on the whole Torah simultaneously. I mean, that's to really think things carefully. And look, that works, and that's the mitzvah. See, I think, whether he says that, al tridalad, it's the mitzvah of tshuva, it's everything. But it's, of course, the mitzvah of tshuva, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tshuva if you do me'avah, of course you're doing that. I mean, it's not only tshuva me'er, the first four problem, but it's even tshuva me'er, it's any tshuva. The mitzvah of tshuva is anything. But the seventh parak, he's talking about all unique type of a phenomenon. That's where he goes into all these things, you get close to God and all that stuff. Yeah, so that's good. So the question we have to explain, why is kapara hanging for a year and all those things, by year and not by ava? So that question I think we have to get into. I mean, that might be related to the Gemara. So I think maybe our next step should be the Gemara about the purpose thing getting changed into merits or changed into shkagos, into unwillful sins. So I think we have to, let's for tomorrow, I guess, we'll try to take that out. Try to see if we can explain the Gemara. Yes. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Matt's point, yeah, that's true, is that of course the guy who does Shuvah Me'ava is going to consider the Torah and he'll end up seeing how in every area it's really worth it. And he will end up removing the psychological frustration because he'll see it. Of course, he'll do that. But it's, so to speak, he doesn't have to wait for that in every single area. It will confirm he's just simply doing it anyways. But of course, he will do that because he's going to study the Torah and he'll study the Torah and he'll see that that's the case. He'll know that he will see it. Probably already know some of it, but he'll end up doing it just because it confirms the thing. And but he's not holding out on that. He's not dependent on that. He doesn't have to wait for that. Yeah, and it'll make him happy. I mean, it could be it'll make him happier psychologically if he then looks into it and convinces himself on particular things. But he's not going to hold out on doing it until he does that, because he's doing it primarily because it's true. But of course, the more knowledge he has, is his psyche won't be frustrated as long when he sees particular things, how it helps him. But I mean, I assume he won't have frustration. It doesn't mean a guy who's in Avas Hashem doesn't have any pain, or doesn't have any psychological, he's just driven to do the thing irrespective of what his, like it would be an example of, like, I guess that's the Akeda, the example, like by Avram going to slaughter Yitzhak. His strongest instinct is to have compassion on his own son, love and compassion on his own son. But God just told him that he had to do it, and therefore his love of God just said he's just going to do it. And it's painful, whatever. It's just, he's not thinking about that. He's just thinking about the truth. He's totally involved in the world of truth, and the world of truth tells him this, and then anything else is nothing. Now, it doesn't mean there was no psychological pain. I mean, you're not focused on that. Your mind's eye is not on your psyche. But of course, I mean, you will. I mean, depending on the levels. I mean, it could be. I mean, of course, he'll study Torah. I mean, that's what he's going to do, and he'll end up seeing the thing. You know, but it's not his motivation. His primary motivation, like Ram says, he does the truth because it is truth, which means that you have to posit that the Tzelem Elokim is this. There's a component of man which is drawn to truth. God made man in a way that he has a nature which is drawn to truth, and that mind is drawn to that which is real and that which is true. And if he follows that, he will act in line with true, because it's true. There's nothing else, simply because it's true. That's your mind is, and so why does a scientist choose this theory? Because it's true. Not because it makes him feel uncomfortable, it's just because his mind says it's true. And God gave man a faculty that has the draw towards truth.